What week was this week?
11. I want to say 11.
Week 11. Yes, wait, you are correct. Week
am
11.
I right?
Yep, you are.
Wait, hold on. Let me. Can I verify?
You may.
Hold fucking
only,
post.
Only 7 more weeks of this. 6 more weeks? Only 6 more weeks of this.
6 more weeks.
All right, welcome to week 11, Bird Brains. I'm here with program director, God of All Men.
No, you don't have
I can't
to
remember
that.
All. Jay Nice, Jammin' 96.9 is joining us to fill in for Chris Cara. I'm DJ McEnany, and I'm, as always, here with Mike Phillips.
Hello.
And today we have a lot and nothing to talk about. I was disappointed. I was disgusted by the end of that game.
Yeah. Pretty much it. I'm out.
Are we done here?
Thanks. That's my mom.
Thank you.
Okay, I think it's the first week. Let's start off with positives.
Well, let's recap. 17-10, Eagles lost. They kept it a close game against a Patriots defense that has been ranked number one in the league for a while now. So they put up a touchdown and a field goal. But were you happy with what you saw?
I'm going to start out with a positive. I think this is the first week of this program that we won't complain about the defense. Because given the situations that the defense was put in the first half, it seemed like the Pats always had the short field, especially on the turnover. It was a super short field. To hold them to 9 in those situations and then to keep it to 17, I mean, Brady's numbers were pedestrian at best. So from a positive standpoint, not one complaint about the defense. The DBs made plays. The line got pressure. I think that transitions into my negatives. It's they got pressure on Brady, but it seemed like Brady did a much better job handling the pressure than our own quarterback did.
And not just the defense as a whole, but you have to give credit to those DBs who are knocking balls down left and right.
They looked really good. That is, no question, that is the best defensive game of the year, I think, complete.
Against the GOAT?
I know.
Yeah. I can't disagree with you. I mean, I didn't really, you know, I was okay with Ronald Darby. He didn't really disappoint me too much. And I did like the way they contained Sonny Michel and James White. I did agree with that. And I like the pressure they put on Tom Brady. So overall, yeah, it like a lot of people were kind of disappointed because it wasn't a high-flying, high-scoring Lamar Jackson type situation when it came to the game. But it was just good, solid football. You know, it was disappointing at the end, but I'm kind of used to that now. I'm married to disappointment.
And if we're talking about disappointment, my kingdom for a wide receiver, just one wide receiver.
Don't start Jay on
Dallas Goedert. And Zach Ertz were targeted quite a bit, but
that's what happens when you put Stephen Gilmore on Zach Ertz. It turns into a nightmare scenario. Because your guy, I don't know what his name is, Nelson Aguilar, I don't know, hot hands, like, what do you want to call him?
Brick hands.
Yeah, his hands weren't looking kind of hot on that one. The thing that really stuck out in my head was at the end, and I'm pretty sure it stuck out with everybody, where he was in the back of the end zone. He had one of those highlight, get all the girls type catches. It looked like this. You had a hero scenario, and what ended up happening?
He had two opportunities to make a play like that, and if he had been watching his feet on the first one, he could have had a touchdown. If he had been watching the ball on the second one, he could have had a touchdown.
It's so frustrated. He again, we've talked about this. Nelly's a good slot receiver. He is not numero uno.
He can't play under pressure. When the spotlight is on him, he just seems to consistently fail.
You know, it's a shame. And I think Zertz was 9 for 94. But even like Jay said, it's almost like go ahead and you can have Zach for a little while, and then when it came to crunch time, New England just clamped on him.
That just stuck in my head that because even when they slow-mo'd it, because it seems sometimes the commentators seem to kind of make it worse and made it hit a little bit harder when it comes to him because he was in the back of the end zone. Now, we've seen this catch by Alshon Jeffrey in the Super Bowl when he was in the back of the end zone and he was backing up and he scored the touchdown. And it's almost like you recreated that and he's in the back of the end zone, hands up, falls back, holds his knee. And at that point in time, I was kind of like, just please, just stay down, man. Just stay down. Like, I mean, go through the motions. Have the whole cart come and take you out, you know, because you're going to be all over social media. And it's not going to be in a good way. So I was just like, okay, buddy. All right. But, yeah, a receiver. I mean, I've been advocating for a receiver this whole time. I mean, yeah. I think that's the only real problem. I mean, besides, there's a whole list of problems. But, I mean, you know, when we got DeSean Jackson, it was one of those things where this problem was going to be amended along with Alshon Jeffrey. And, yeah.
Defense looked good. The offensive line, without their starting tackles, still looked okay. They didn't look great. Wentz was under a lot of pressure a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Against a really good defense, wide receiver, an offensive weapon to run down the field and catch the ball is really where they had this glaring hole.
Yeah.
My other complaint on the offensive side was the play calling. I said to Jay before we started recording, you have a 16-play, 95-yard, 9.5-minute textbook drive, and that's it. I mean, it's almost like they forgot all the plays that they ran during that worked. And a lot of Eagles fans aren't going to want to hear, but credit where credit's due. Belichick he's a good defensive coach. I mean, and I'm sure that they made adjustments. But then that calls into question the Eagles. Okay, you have to make adjustments now. And it seemed like it was the same script during the whole game.
Yeah.
And
yeah. What's the point in covering your mouth if you're going to call the same play?
Miles Sanders, I thought, would get a lot more touches. They put Boston out there. The one play that I didn't see
responsible for at least one of my heart attacks.
Oh man, I'll tell you what. We'll get to that in a minute. You know, the one play that has seemed to work against everybody, and maybe New England defended it, is that little outside route from Miles Sanders down the sideline. You know, where Carson leads him, it's paid dividends every time they run it. Haven't seen it for a while.
Well, because everybody expects it now.
Well, like, and maybe that's it. And listen, you got to do a little something different. Clearly, New England got that message when they ran the little trickeration there to score the touchdown.
Yeah, so just jumping back to play calling, as you were mentioning, and talking about creativity on offense.
Yeah.
They come out with a modified, you know, Brady to Edelman to Dorsett play.
Slap in the face.
And then on the Eagles side of the ball, we have a play where we're slotting Kelce out far right, and he's waving for the ball. What is that? I don't think a single defender bid on it. No one looked his way.
I don't know what that was.
No one thought he was getting it. No.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, let's go.
And that's our best creativity. That's what we're coming up with.
Well, and I got it. And diverging a little bit, I was at MetLife Stadium Saturday for the Ithaca-Cortland football game, Division III. And in a crunch time, Ithaca had a play. They were 3rd and 12. They needed to either get the first down to really secure the game or score. And they ran a fake reverse. The defense bit on it. Everybody was going left. Tight end scooted out, turned around. Hit. I mean, really nice little creative play from a Division III college team, and you're looking at it like, you know, I bet hopefully Dallas Goedert could have caught that ball. Creativity is the word. That's the right word, DJ. It just seems like they're running the same stuff. And
well, they always say you got to have you got to have fun too, you know, and firing up their minds and things like that, and, you know, but there's got to be some type of trickery involved.
That drive, that 16-play drive to score the touchdown just looked – that was probably the best drive of the year.
And that was one of my notes going into the game was they have to manage the clock in this game against a team that's good.
You chewed up 9.5 minutes, and I don't going forward, 0-for-10 on third down the rest of the game or something really bad? You don't have your starting running back. You don't have your starting number one receiver. You don't have your starting number two receiver. You lose both tackles during the game, and you're still in it. And that's
against the potential
Super Bowl
contenders
caliber team. Over on the AFC, I think right now it looks like it's the Pats and the Ravens.
Yeah. Let's say the Eagles, they have an opportunity maybe to make the playoffs. If things fall the right way with their upcoming schedule, and Dallas loses a few, but Can this Eagles team beat the Ravens or the Patriots in the playoffs or the Super Bowl?
The Ravens?
Okay, it's a two-part question. I think they can. I think fully healthy and fully mentally with it, as far as coaching goes, they could beat the Pats. Right now, I don't think anybody's beating the Ravens.
Now, see, this is the thing. I get what you're saying, but historically, when it comes to Lamar Jackson-type quarterbacks, we've been known to contain them. I mean, Michael Vick was a problem back. You know, Michael Vick was a real problem. And when Michael Vick got to Philadelphia, what happened to him? He didn't highlight our whole team.
Right.
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Lamar Jackson is a phenomenal player, and, you know, there's a lot of talk about him being the MVP. But I think when it comes to running, I think when the ball's on the ground, we're a little bit more aggressive. We can control that as opposed to when people start airing it out. Now, like Aaron Rodgers, that's a whole different story. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a problem with Aaron Rodgers potentially, but Lamar Jackson, who has a tendency to scramble and things like that, I think we can contain that a little bit better.
Okay.
How would you grade Wentz's performance in this game?
You know, it's funny. I was just starting to think. There's been a lot of criticism about Wentz this year, and DJ, I know you have said a lot of it is, you know, he doesn't have the receivers, he doesn't have the time. There were a lot of plays yesterday that, I mean, he held the ball too long.
True.
There's a perfect example of where Wentz needs to be. You know, Wentz held the ball too long, gets hit and fumbles. Brady, there was a play, and I don't know when it was. It was relatively early. It was in the first half. Brady came under a boatload of pressure, and he had the wherewithal to
intentionally
throw
ground
that
the ball.
Intentionally yeah, ground that ball right at his running back's mm-hmm. feet.
That happened. That happened. You know, another time late in the yeah.
Yeah,
that
and
happened
he got
a couple times,
and he got chased out of the pocket another time.
Yeah.
And I mean, he had to really heave it to get it past the line of scrimmage, but he did. And I think that's where Carson's, you know. Carson's got it. Listen, Brady is about as immobile. He's like the anti-Lamar.
Jeez.
But Brady is one of the best quarterbacks at manipulating his ability within the pocket and getting somewhat out of that pocket. And I think that's where Carson needs to be. Which also go to play calling. Why aren't they rolling him out more?
I don't want to make excuses for him, but you see a game that is within your grasp and you know that you're weapons have failed you multiple times throughout right. the game. It looks like he is trying to do too much with too little.
And absolutely.
I don't
absolutely.
Want to excuse it, but it does seem like maybe he is frustrated with the way things
oh, yeah.
go when he is looking
yeah.
to people.
And,
yeah,
and plays.
And it's starting to come off like that, too.
But it's hard, though, when, I mean, he, in that last drive or the last two drives, he airmailed a couple. Now, back to
yeah, I have
back
a note here about he had severe accuracy issues on
yeah.
some, and it looks like he started to get spooked because
he looked a little
he'd throw
McNabb-ish.
Him low,
yeah.
and they'd pop him, and then he started throwing him too high, going over people's heads, and it's just
yeah, but he looked a little McNabbish.
But then at the same time, at what point do you just take it into your own hands? Like Lamar Jackson, we're talking about Lamar Jackson. Run, Josh Allen, run.
Yeah.
They take the game into their own hands. Like I mean, that's the competitor. You know, I'm not saying we all know Carson's one of the biggest competitors, but at what point in time do you go, all right, you know, Jordan Matthews is in space, Nelson Aguilar can't catch a cold, it's time for me to do it myself. You know,
like, yeah, you're right.
And, not saying that, I mean, Zach Ertz is being covered by their best D-back now. I mean, I have to do, there's got to be a hole somewhere.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I don't like the way the running backs were utilized yesterday. With Carson under pressure, I really thought they needed to roll him out a little bit more. Maybe they didn't want to do that since the tackles were down. I don't know, but but back to Carson, you know, held the ball too long, fumbled, took a lot of sacks, airmailed a few. But back to your Aguilar, he dropped that ball right in on the dime.
He did. That was,
that
I mean.
That ball could not have been dropped in any better.
Because I thought to myself, I saw it and I was like, at first I thought that the DB, you know, he contended with him to where
yeah.
as though
no.
he was unable to catch the ball. And then when I watched it in slow motion, it was just him unable to catch the ball. Maybe it was, he's not the tallest guy in the world. I'll give him that. But I mean, the extension. I mean, they even went as far as to like stop at his hands.
he looked like a center fielder who got turned around trying to catch, you know, a deep ball headed toward the fence and turned the wrong way and then was just almost spinning around trying to.
Yeah.
He looked
yeah.
like a high school player playing against college kids.
Yeah, but I mean, but you know what? The truth of the Boom. Matter is, that's all the proof you need. You need a dynamic receiver. Yeah. Like, you need a playmaker. Julio Jones would have caught that ball. I mean, pick mm-hmm. anybody. Anybody would have caught that ball. I mean, Julio, OBJ would have caught that ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you need a.
Alshon probably would have caught that ball.
Alshon has caught that ball.
Yeah, you're right.
But you need, like, I think when it comes to that, you need a playmaker. You need a dynamic receiver.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's time. It's time. Let's take one of our draft picks. Like, I mean, or Ortega, whatever. Hopefully he gets to that point. But
I don't see another more glaring need. I'd say in the upcoming draft, they have to be looking at a wide receiver number one, right?
You have to.
Can we also, I don't know how much time we got left in the program, but can we talk about the fact that we lost two guys during the bye week to injuries? Three guys to bye? Yeah. How's that happen? I mean, at some point this year, somebody's got to raise some serious questions about the training staff and the medical staff, because you got Sproles, who comes back from a hip flexor or tries to come back from a hip flexor, and now it's totally torn, so why did he come back?
Mm.
You got Deshaun coming back maybe too early. You got guys, you know, earlier in the year, the whole DB section had hamstring issues.
I know that the coaching staff tried to put Deshaun's decision on him. They said, well, we put it in his hands about whether he wanted the surgery or not. But
at some point, you got it. I mean,
and as a coach, you have to make the decision and say, okay, well, we might be out of a receiver at this position. Let's make a trade before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Let's do something.
Right.
And having not made any moves, now they're stuck with what they have.
Yeah. A lot of questions about things that have gone on off the field. And I think injuries, training staff, medical staff, whatever, you know, whoever's responsible. Now, again, Lane Johnson, that's a concussion that's going to happen. Peters, you know,
Peters and Sproles, I think you're chalking up to
it's age,
just two guys who've given everything they
exactly.
have, but they're getting up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think
this
soft
is it.
Tissue
and
injuries.
I mean, you look at Peters' injury last night, he got rolled up on. There's not much you could do to protect against
that.
But
I mean, what happened to Alshon and Howard this week in practice? Practice. I felt like I was doing the AI thing. It's practice.
All I really saw about Jordan Howard was somebody said he's banged up. Like, I didn't get an official anything on that. And to
where
be
was
honest,
Jay?
Well, I know,
said,
big
I didn't want to sound. I really didn't want to sound like I didn't know what was going on. But that's what I was thinking almost the entire time. Like, it was all over social media.
Austin
It was this big thing. About Jay Ajayi, and
he's got another playbook.
He wasn't in the game. I didn't see him at all. So, I mean, maybe he couldn't play.
A lot of questions.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're running low on time, though, and too many questions to answer all of them. But
exactly.
We head into the Seahawks head to our house next week. What do you think our chances are? They're 8-2. We are 5-5 heading into that game. Any given Sunday, it's the NFL, but we have what looks to be a little bit of a cake schedule following this game, but what do you think their chances are in this game?
Well,
I don't like them. I don't like them. If Jordan Howard comes back, maybe I got a little bit more confidence, but man, Seattle's defense is not as good as New England's defense.
It's not.
But
on the offensive side,
yeah.
Russell Wilson is, you know,
he's another MVP.
He's potential MVP candidate.
Yeah.
Tyler Lockett should be back off of, you know, what did he break his leg or he did something with his leg?
And he's got DK Metcalf. Yeah, that could show us how well this DB crew is back.
That's true. This is going to be a good. This is going to be a really good test. Yeah. I mean, Chris Carson, their running back, he's hot and he's cold. I'm not going to say he's going to destroy our defensive line because I don't think he's.
No,
I don't think he's one of those type of guys.
No, I don't.
He doesn't come off to me as
it's going to have to be Russell and
But it's Russell Wilson. He tears us up through the air. Every single time we play against him, he tears us up through the air. I mean, even on a bad day, he destroys us during over the air. So it's one of those things where you got to really game plan for Russell Wilson, and you got to figure out how to stop Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Those guys are a problem.
And you can look at DK Metcalf and say, huh, we could have had him in the draft.
I don't want him.
There's a lot of we could have.
All right, this has been your weekly Bird Brains recap of the Eagles. Once again, failure. We sit at 500.
Failure.
It's been Jay Nice, Mike Phillips, DJ McEnany. On behalf of Chris Carl, hi, M.